Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Will Pruitt, and this is the audio review for the June 11th episode of Lucha Underground. Of course, I do this review every week, and it's only available occasionally on the All Access side of things. You can hear it weekly on the .net membership side of things, but that's not all, guys, because not only do you get reviews of Lucha Underground, no. You get reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Ring of Honor. We do basically all of the major shows and TNA. Can't forget TNA, at least not yet. We do all of the major shows. We also do our own audio shows that aren't just about wrestling television, but about wrestling in general. You get the .net weekly audio show, our flagship. It's Jason Powell and a guest, sometimes a staff member, sometimes someone from the outside, breaking down the news and rumors of the week. Often first run news is reported or hinted at in there. It's a must listen if you are a ProWrestling.net member. Also, you get the ProWrestling.net, the Pretend podcast with myself and Jake Barnett, going next level occasionally on some wrestling topics. This week I proposed a theory that the Money in the Bank match should not happen anymore. Last week we broke down the Finn Balor character. We always try and include a little bit of stuff in there that we think is kind of fun. You also get occasional, and I say occasional because we don't have a set schedule for this, but you get episodes of the Millennials with Attitude podcast, and that's me, Zach Zimmerman, and my wife, Christy Pruitt, chatting about an episode of Raw from the Attitude Era. We've already watched all three Raw episodes from the Attitude Era in 1997 that are available on WWE Network, but we watch those and try and bring today's fresh eyes and perspective to those shows and see what's good, what's bad, and what's just downright ridiculous. And there's a lot of every single one of those. So that's just a sampling of the audio content. You also get ad-free access to ProWrestling.net, access to the ProWrestling.net members forum where you can correspond with me, the entire ProWrestling.net staff, and a whole lot of other folks that are just good old-fashioned wrestling fans. You can get all that for around $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. If you just want to try it out for a month, that'll run you $7.50, but we are very proud of the product we put forth, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and you can get started pretty much instantly with instant access. But, guys, we're not just here to pimp membership. No, I'm here to tell you about Lucha Underground. And this show, I think the big news coming out of this show, it's not a match from the show. It's not really anything that happened on the show. Well, there was one big thing, and that's the return of Drago. But the biggest thing was the announcement of Ultima Lucha. 8 weeks away, I believe it's the first show in August, the first or second show in August. It's going to be a two-hour spectacular on the El Rey Network, and it's going to be the Ultima Lucha show. It's kind of Lucha Underground's WrestleMania, the biggest show they're going to have all year. And it's, you know, Dario Cueto promised at the top of the show the biggest and best matches, the best fights in the temple for Ultima Lucha. And I'm excited about that. I think that's going to be really fun. One of the things about Lucha Underground is that they build week to week. They put their big match, when they make a big match, they make a big match for next week or 2 weeks from now. They rarely make a match that is 8-9 weeks in the, you know, 6 or 8 weeks in the making. So it's going to be really different to see them switch into long-term build mode instead of the short-term build that they've been giving most things. That it opens up some new storytelling possibilities in the Lucha Underground universe. So as far as we can tell, that show also has a main event that is already up in the air. Spoiler alert if you are somehow listening to this in pieces, but we were told at the end of the show that Drago versus Prince Puma would be the main event for Ultima Lucha. But then we saw Katrina get a match made between Mil Muertes and Drago with that title shot on the line. So 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to get Mil Muertes versus Drago with the shot for a title on the line. Next week, and I'm just breaking down the news coming out of this show. Next week, to me, that's going to be the most can't-miss episode of Lucha Underground yet, because we're going to get Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma in basically an Iron Man match. Of course, in Lucha Underground, all matches have been invented by Dario Cueto, and this is his all-night-long match. I can't resist just wondering if there's an Inner City Machine Guns references there with Ricochet / Prince Puma being in the match. But it will be an all-night-long match between Prince Puma and Johnny Mundo. Are you guys psyched about that? Because I'm pretty psyched about that. I think that's going to be a phenomenal, really fun, dynamic, cool match. Like, next week, I might come on this show just over the moon about that match. Hopefully, I don't come on the show and go, hey guys, I'm pretty disappointed in how that match turned out. Also, because that would mean I was transformed into another very, very unenergetic person. And I've got energy. Some would say I am hyped. I don't know if I stay hyped. I leave that to Mojo Rawley. But I am hyped. So a lot of stuff coming out of this Lucha Underground episode. We had a four-way main event on this show that was pretty okay. We had a trios match that I really didn't like all that much. So it's not an everything is great on this show situation. I can tell you that. And we had Blue Demon Jr. versus Chavo Guerrero Jr., which I just don't care about. I didn't care about it on the first episode. I didn't care about it when Chavo turned heel. Like, I really, really do not care about Blue Demon Jr. and Chavo Guerrero Jr. That, it's a weird thing, and they were tied in with the Dragon Azteca storyline that's going on with Angela Fong / a Black Lotus being locked in a cage. Interesting pieces in play with that story, but ever since B-Boy died, they just haven't been able to capture me the way the killing of B-Boy captured me. By the way, guys, B-Boy dying was just awesome, wasn't it? Like, it was the best. So, I'm going to start from the top of this show, work my way through. This was taped, as all Lucha Underground episodes are, at the Temple in Boyle Heights, California. And this week's opening video, we saw Evil Chavo, everything that he's done get chronicled. We saw him beating up Blue Demon Jr. And then we saw Drago getting eliminated from the Temple. His, him losing his match to Prince Puma, which caused Drago to be banned from the Temple. Drago walked out and burst into flame. That was pretty sweet. And And then after the opening video, we went to outside the Temple, looked like it was around sunrise or something like it, and we saw Drago on top of the Temple spread his wings and jump off the building. And my wife, who people know from the Millennials with Attitude show, she hasn't watched a ton of Lucha Underground with me, and she walked into the room right around this time, saw some of Drago and went, "What the hell is that? That's cool!" She was super into the cape, really, like, she actually ended up sitting down and watching a lot of this show with me, which she is not usually one to do with the wrestling. She'll watch a little bit, but she'll break out a book or sit around reading stuff on her iPad instead of watching, and she actually watched a fair amount of this show after seeing some of Drago, so her imagination was captured here. So we saw Drago kind of plummet down from the from the top of the building. We did not see him land on what I assume was a crash pad or just a crane that was about 3 feet beneath him. We went into the Temple and Los Ryobax played us in, and we got Matt Stryker and Vampiro welcoming us to the show. Matt Stryker was referencing Los Ryobax. He seemed to be in good spirits, and Vampiro stopped and went, yo, Matt, I gotta tell you something. I'm sorry for the way I acted last week. I'm an announcer here. I shouldn't have gotten involved in the action. I had to do what I had to do, but I'm sorry. That's not my role here. That's not who I'm supposed to be, and I'll make sure I'm an announcer. It's not going to happen again. I liked that a lot. That was just a nice touch from, of course, the Vampiro story from last week. And it's really all it took. We had that closing shot of kind of the darkness closing in on Vampiro last week. And now we get Vampiro just trying to shake it off, saying, nope, that's not what's happening. That's, guys, I'm sorry. It's not what I meant to do. And Matt Stryker kind of said, as a as a professional, I understand where you're coming from, and I get why, as an announcer, you decided to do this. But as a man, and because of what was happening to Sexy Star in that moment, I want to thank you. This was good. Like, this was great follow-up to last week's story. Vampiro and Matt Stryker played it off really well. I thought this was really nice. So we got Dario Cueto in the ring, and he said in 8 weeks, there is going to be a huge event no one would ever forget, and this event would be his grandchild. So it's the child of his child. Dario Cueto, I guess, mated with a wrestling show one time, and then decided to mate with another. And then that wrestling show decided to mate with another, and it would be Ultima Lucha? I'm not sure. But he said this event is going to be his grandchild, and no one would ever forget Ultima Lucha. He said the main event of this show would be decided tonight, and he noted that the person's going to face Prince Puma for the championship, which was really interesting considering the Iron Man-esque match he made later in the night. But he said there would be a four-way of men who have failed to beat Prince Puma for the title, and it's going to be Hernandez, King Cuerno, Cage, and Phoenix. But, you know, Phoenix, he got murdered a couple weeks ago in that death match. So I guess it's just going to be a triple threat. Instead, it's going to be a triple threat between, the heels, King Cuerno, Cage, and Hernandez, which the fans were not super into. And then Dario Cueto said, they're not going to have the biggest event in Lucha history, in Lucha Underground history, without one of the icons of Lucha Libre. And he invited Blue Demon Jr. to come to the ring. Blue Demon Jr. made his return to the temple, walked down the stairs. People cheered him. Throngs of fans cheered him. And Blue Demon Jr. was in the mask, but he was also in like slacks and a button-down shirt. So it was like dressy Blue Demon Jr. Dario Cueto said he's going to have to fight for his paycheck, and he doesn't want him to have ring rust at Ultima Lucha. So Blue Demon Jr., tonight, he was going to have to fight Chavo Guerrero Jr., another man making his return to the temple. And we saw Chavo come out accompanied by the crew, Castro and Mr. Cisco or something. Mr. Cisco and Cortez Castro. Yeah. Thank you, John Moore, for your excellent live coverage of Lucha Underground, considering I can't remember the crew's name past Guy with No Face, who is no longer there, praise the wrestling deities. So Matt Stryker talked about the deep history, and this was a rematch, and mentioned that this was the rematch from the first episode of Lucha Underground. If you watched that first episode of Lucha Underground, you know this was not a good match between Chavo and Blue Demon Jr. But that's fine. And he said this time the match would be anything goes. So Chavo had the help of the crew, and this was Chavo and the crew basically killing Blue Demon Jr. for the entire match. There were a few hope spots, but Chavo, the dastardly heel that he is, for the finish, got up on the top rope after cheating, pointed to the sky, because God forbid, as a heel, he doesn't give tribute to a dead legend in Eddie Guerrero, a man that fans still want to cheer and chant for to this day. I mean, Chavo Guerrero just can't not give tribute to Eddie. He's been riding his legacy for 10 years. Chavo, by the way, just one of the worst acts in wrestling. I don't care what you say. He was bad in TNA. The latter years in WWE were bad, and now wandering around the various promotions that he wanders around, it's just disappointing to see him. I get giving tribute to Eddie when you're a babyface and when it gets you cheers. But I remember when Chavo Guerrero was his own wrestler. That was way more interesting. But Chavo Guerrero Jr. defeated Blue Demon Jr. in 3 minutes and 6 seconds. Chavo and the crew stood over Demon to get that victory. And neat. Chavo's bad. Blue Demon, I have no interest in seeing. And yeah. So we got Drago entering the temple, flapping his wings. And there was this epic music that played. And it was like, Drago is coming. Like, it was really cool. It was really well done. These Drago vignettes ruled. And like I said, they were enough to capture the imagination of my wife. They were enough to do that. So I'm into it. We saw Chavo standing outside the jail cell that a Black Lotus is being held in. Lotus called Chavo a liar, and Chavo then was like, I'm a Guerrero. Way to honor that family name, Chavo. That's real nice. Chavo said after what he did to Blue Demon Jr., Mexico, or Lotus said that Dragon Dance Tech is going to find him, Mexico's going to find him. And Chavo said, Mexico, after what I did to Blue Demon Jr., is never going to come after me. I wish he talked like Batman. That would make it way better. So Mexico, of course, is a human. They're like, yeah. Chavo said that he hopes Lotus enjoys her view, and the camera panned into the darkness, where I'm assuming Dario Cueto's brother monster was. Dario Cueto's brother monster, of course, the highest ranking Lucha Underground roster member on my power rank, on my mid-year power rankings, because he did what I've always wanted to do. He killed B-Boy. Okay, I don't really want to kill B-Boy, guys. That's putting it a little too extreme. But, I mean, you know, I'm fine with this monster having done it. I didn't try and stop him. Let's put it that way. So Dario Cueto was in front of the mirror in the locker room. Looked to be kind of, you know, getting gussied up, if you will. And Drago materialized behind him. And this was another moment where my wife was like, this is filmed like a movie. Yeah, Christy, way to catch up. That's really nice. No, she'll never hear this, guys, so I can pretty much say what I want. Don't tell her on Twitter. That's rude. I'm not really making her sound like an idiot either. She was pointing out some of the obvious stuff. But I think it goes to show just how different this wrestling show is. Excuse me, my voice just decided to disappear for a moment. Drago, in a really weird voice, they did have a strange voice for Drago that kind of took me out of the moment, but I guess how do you embody the voice of a human dragon? That's the big question here. But Drago basically said, I've lost to Prince Puma too, I lost a title match, I should be in that main event four-way. And Dario Cueto said, yeah, you're right, and you would be. If you weren't banished for life, peace out, bro. And Drago goes, no, I want to be in that match. Let me be in that match. And Dario Cueto then ends up making the match where Drago will be in that four-way. And if he wins, he gets a shot at Prince Puma in the title at Lucha at Ultima Lucha. But if Drago loses, not only is he banned from the temple for life, he also loses his mask. So this, it was another mask match in a way, and, not if he loses, if he doesn't win. So even if, Drago isn't involved in the decision, he loses his mask. And, Drago accepted the match, said, let me fight, and, did the weird, like, tongue thing where I'm pretty sure he has, like, a gummy tongue that he puts in and is able to unroll. It's impressive and gross. But Drago is now in that match. It's a four-way. King Cuerno versus Cage versus Drago versus Hernandez. I know who I want to win. Actually, I do know who I want to win. Still King Cuerno. King Cuerno rules. So Drago... The Drago return and everything does feel special in a way. It would have been cool to see it teased at the end of last week's episode. I think one of the things they could actually do with these, I know they like to do the big closing scenes. It would be kind of cool in the same way, you do with any TV drama to get some clips of next week's show. Maybe not clips of in-ring action, but clips like, you know, next week. A warrior returns, and you see Drago on top of the building. You know, just something short, maybe 10, 15 seconds of one thing that happens next week that is major. The one for coming after this show could just be Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma and a past match of theirs and saying, you know, what happens when they do the entire show together. Next up, we had some sweet, sweet trios action. Okay, I didn't actually really like this trio's action, but what you gonna do? It was the Disciples of Death, the Skull guys with Katrina, who just look weird. Like, we saw them a couple weeks ago. Like, the masks aren't impressive to me. The costumes aren't impressive. It's not that cool. I don't mind the gimmick of them being kind of Mil Muertes' trio's warriors or whatever, but I want them to look cooler. So many things look cool on this show, and the Disciples of Death don't look cool or dangerous, but this was the Disciples of Death versus Pimpinella, Escarlita, Mascarita Sagrada, and Bengala. Bengala was making his debut. Mascarita Sagrada and Pimpinella, of course, were the tag team partners of Sexy Star, who is out of action I just got a text message. Sorry for all of you who just heard the Star Tours tone, but what you gonna do? So this was a trios match that just wasn't that great. I haven't been impressed with Pimpinella in the ring. I know her character seems to elicit a lot of cheers, but I have not been impressed with Pimpinella or his character. How do I describe that? I'm wondering. I know it's obviously a cross-dressing wrestler who I think embraces the cross-dressing thing, and I would like it if the announcers would tell me Pimpinella's preferred pronoun, because I have no issues referring to someone by their preferred pronoun, but I obviously do not know it. So it was Pimpinella, who I have not been impressed with in the ring. Masquerita, who's amazing and did some really cool stuff in here, and Bengala, who I thought looked really good for a debut, but this was various parts of this match were about the Disciples of Death getting a 3-on-1 with any of those three and being able to beat them up. The thing is, the Disciples of Death really didn't do anything that impressive. It was like Punch and Kick Town, and they really didn't amaze me here in their trios debut. But by the end, we had it was, of course, the various types of 3-on-1 advantages. Finally, Katrina gave Pimpinella the kiss of death from ringside. The Disciples of Death picked up, it was kind of like the Shield's powerbomb thing, where the three of them picked up Pimpinella, but they picked Pimpinella up in, see the pronoun thing, it's getting me, picked Pimpinella up in the, as basically like a cross with one person each on the arms, and then one person in the middle, and then flapjacked Pimpinella down, and they one of the Disciples of Death pinned Pimpinella. Not that impressive of a match. Really not that impressive, and not that exciting. This was kind of the low point on the show for me. I get why they had the Disciples of Death debut against the sympathetic babyface trio, but not that impressive, and not a great debut for Bengala, even though Bengala looked good, just not a great debut match. Like, I would have put Bengala in a little more impressive of a scenario for his debut. Back in Dario Cueto's office, Johnny Mundo is there, and he's pissed. He walks in, and Johnny Mundo's pissed because he's not in that title match. Or he's not in that number one contenders match for Ultima Lucha. And he talks about how Dario Cueto said he wanted to start over with Johnny Mundo, but what's going on if Johnny Mundo isn't in the doesn't get a title shot at Ultima Lucha? And Dario Cueto kind of looked at him and went, well, you know, here's why you're not in that match. I think you're going to be champion going into Ultima Lucha. That's what I see for you. I see you becoming champion, Johnny Mundo. And told Johnny Mundo that he's got a new creation. He thought of something new. And if you remember the last time Dario Cueto created a match, it was the Royal Rumble-esque match. Aztec Warfare match that was transcendent. It was beautiful. It was everything you want warfare between Aztecs to be. And that was really cool, so I trust him here. And what Dario Cueto has created out of his mind space was a one-on-one match that lasts the whole night, and the most pinfalls or submissions throughout the night in the temple wins. So it is Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma, essentially in a one-hour Iron Man match next week through the course of the show. Holy crap, I cannot wait to see that match. It's going to be amazing. Johnny Mundo and Dario Cueto shook hands as a tribute to the new champion. That's going to be great next week. It is going to be super, super cool. Then we got the number one contenders match. We had, they call him Cage, King Cuerno wearing his animal pelt, which was sweetness. We had Hernandez and then Drago making his return to the temple. Drago, by the way, is in dark gear. Like, it's all in like black and purple tones, like a darker mask, just really cool gear. Again, my wife watching the entrances for this was just like, they're like comic book characters, because it was her first time seeing King Cuerno wearing, you know, the animal pelt and the antler, all of that. And she's like, That's really cool. Like, it's different and kind of weird, but it's cool. And, like, it was interesting to see her kind of get into the atmosphere of the show a little bit. And this was a four-way match that wasn't bad, but wasn't amazing. It never flowed naturally the way you'd want a four-way to, even though it had some really cool parts and really cool moves. We had, of course, Cuerno hitting his amazing tope at one point. A lot of hope spots for Drago. A lot of really, really great stuff in here. They, of course, teased some... They teased some dissension and some teaming up for Cuerno and Cage. That was a storyline throughout the match because King Cuerno and Cage have teamed up multiple times, including for the Trios Championships at one point. So you saw a lot of that stuff. At one point, we have Killshot lit just standing up on top of one of the structures in the temple, and the announcers pointed it out, talked about how everyone's kind of coming out of the woodwork now that Ultima Lucha's coming to town, and you had Killshot standing there watching. I'm not quite sure why, but Killshot's there. He's gonna do a thing at some point, I guess. We had finally, this one all came down to Drago and Cuerno in the ring alone. They're fighting. Drago sprays miss at Cuerno. Again, we've got a darker, more evolved Drago now breaking out the legendary miss. Cuerno's blinded, and he's able to do his crazy dragon roll-up thing for the win over Cuerno. And it's going to be Drago versus Puma for the Aztec Warrior Championship, for the Aztec Gold Championship, the Lucha Underground Aztec Gold World Heavyweight Medallion Championship, whatever you want to call it, for the big gold belt of Lucha Underground. It's going to be Drago versus Prince Puma, and Prince Puma came to the ring, and he looked excited and happy to face off with Drago, who he had conflicted feelings about eliminating. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, this is a logical story. I mean, arguably the least decisive victory that the Prince Puma had in his title reign was against Drago. So that was kind of, you know, that played into it. And then you got the face-off. Prince Puma was so conflicted about beating Drago that I thought this was really good. So in 10 minutes and 30 seconds, Drago defeats Prince Puma. Defeats King Cuerno, Cage, and Hernandez. We get a stare-down between Puma and Drago, and cheers, and it looks like that's how this is all gonna end. But then we go to Dario Cueto's office, and he's peeking through the blinds, and suddenly someone taps him on the shoulder and then disappears. And then someone's sitting in his chair as he is standing up, and it's Katrina. She grabs him by the chain that the key to the monster's cell is on. And she's pissed. Why isn't Mil Muertes in that match? Why isn't Mil Muertes in that match? Well, Mil Muertes hasn't lost to Prince Puma in the past. Well, yeah, because Mil Muertes wouldn't lose. Mil Muertes would be champion. That's the only reason Prince Puma's still the champion. So now so she chokes Dario Cueto, who realizes he is about to die. And so Dario Cueto, to avoid death, makes the match Mil Muertes versus Drago in 2 weeks for the Ultima Lucha Championship shot. So the number one contendership is on the line once again in that match. And Katrina said something that has to be a tease for season two, I assume, that Mil Muertes would make that monster you keep locked up in that cage look like nothing, basically. She says Mil Muertes would defeat the monster, so I think that we're going to see Mil Muertes and the monster at some point. The good stuff on this show was not exactly the in-ring action. I love the return of Drago. I thought that was fun, but the good stuff on this show was the Ultima Lucha announcement, the announcement of next week's match, the announcement of the main event 2 weeks from now. I think they're doing a nice job of putting the building blocks in place for Ultima Lucha. I think we saw more of that with Vampiro downplaying at the beginning, him getting involved last week as well. We're seeing Ultima Lucha get built. We're seeing the show kind of take a direction of building up a big show a few weeks from now, and it's going to be interesting to see how Lucha Underground does this. Guys, I cannot wait for next week. That show's going to freaking rule. I'm really psyched about it. I hope you guys are too, and I hope you tune in to watch it, because that show does deserve some attention. That's just about going to wrap it up for us this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the ProWrestling.net podcast. Again, I do this every week. You can listen to it every week on the ProWrestling.net member side of things, and I'll talk to everyone again soon.